From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Actor, comedian, screenwriter, and Saturday Night Live cast member and writer Tim Kasirinski is a multi-talented performer. He wrote the hit movie About Last Night and was well known for portraying Carl Sweetchuck in the Police Academy movies. He will be in Columbus as part of Galaxy Con on December 6th and 7th. Welcome to Craft, Tim Kasirinski.
I'm so glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to being in Columbus for the first time.
Oh, well, welcome. It's an interesting city. It probably has fewer things to do than Chicago, where I think you're based, but it's a fun time.
You know what? Everybody I've spoken to had nothing but great things to say about Columbus. They said it's a good place. There's lots of good places to eat. Not that I have that much time to chow down, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's fun. We don't turn our river green on St. Patrick's Day, but we do many other fun things instead. I was pleased to see that you would be joining Galaxy Con because your tenure on SNL occurred right around the time that I had started watching and understanding it as a kid. Among the many memorable roles you played, Dr. Jack Betofsky during SNL's Weekend Update was the one that had the potential for getting me into trouble at school because I repeated the puns that you used, including one that I used forever, the four on the floor gasm, which I believe was yours. Thank you for that. After being in so many movies and TV shows, what are some of the roles that you hear most about from your fans?
Certainly Police Academy more than anything. Bobcat and I did three of them together. Not in the first one, which may be the best, but we're doing two, three, and four and happy of it. Bobcat and I have just started to do these Comic-Con shows. It's great to get back together and for us to hang together. Also, Brian Tochi is going to be there as well. He's another Police Academy guy. He's also a Ninja Turtle, so he's a double threat.
Yes. What
but
role
we
did
will
he
have
play?
Fun.
What role did he play in the Police Academy movies?
And what was Brian's name? I do remember that in, was it two or three, he did get to have his face shoved into the chest of Leslie Easterbrook, who had a balcony you could do Shakespeare off of. Everybody was like, how come Brian gets to do that and not me?
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll remember that role fondly, I guess.
Yes.
So I noticed that you and Bobcat have worked on a couple of movies together. You've got the Police Academies, 2, 3, 4, and Shakes the Clown. Tell me how it is that you seem to end up working together so much. And I saw a recent picture of you together as well.
Yeah, we became great pals at Police Academy 2. I was friends with the writers of the show, Barry Blaustein and David Sheffield. I was on my honeymoon. They asked if I'd come in and shoot a little bit under the titles. So I did that, came from my honeymoon to do that. Then the director was fired, and the new director came in and asked me to stick around. I ended up being there for 6 weeks with Jerry Paris, wonderful director. And Bob and I got to horse around and make stuff up. The first time I met him, he said, I'm going to hold you up at this ATM, and then I'm going to spray mace in my mouth and kiss you. And I said, is it real mace? He said, no. I said, okay, I'm fine with that. Also, we're not telling the director. So we did it. They kept it, and we became pals. And Bob even lived in Chicago for a few years, and we got to hang out there. In Shakes the Clown, which Bob calls the Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies,
right.
I was the first party dad. He was supposed to slap me, and I said, Bob, you're pulling your punches. You got to haul up and slap me, and he didn't want to do it. I said, well, in the movie Neighbors, John Belushi made me punch him real hard in the stomach, and I couldn't fake it. So I said, if you take some advice from Belushi, haul off and give me a good slap and bang. He did it, and it was funnier.
Well, it's always good when you can convince your coworkers to really punch you at work. That's no way that HR is getting involved in that.
No, we're real best pals and have been for, God, that was 1984? Lordy.
Yeah. Few years ago. And I remember your role in the movie quite well. It felt like Bobcat was mostly there to torment And that was the relationship.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, people like to see me tortured by bobcat. So, whatever.
Yeah, it didn't seem to cause a problem leaving right after your honeymoon. I'm assuming that went well.
Well, my wife was with me, so we had a nice long stay in Los Angeles. Oh. I never lived in L.A., by the way. Always lived in Chicago.
Which goes to some of your other earlier work where you had co-written about Last Night from David Mamet's Sexual Perversity in Chicago play.
Yes, perhaps the greatest title for a film ever, Sexual Perversity in Chicago.
Weird this they didn't
use
it.
This is a man who's won the Pulitzer Prize, and the networks would not take advertising for such a salacious title, and this was around the time cable was coming in, but we had to change the title to About Last Night, which I had trouble remembering. I had to write it down on a piece of paper. But yeah, that was a wonderfully successful movie and got me a screenwriting career, so I was happy for that.
Yeah, so I'm curious about that. You're a multi-talented performer and you do some writing. What's the relationship for you between writing and performing? Do you find one more satisfying or difficult than the other?
I love working on the stage, but as a screenwriter, I had a wonderful screenwriting career and then it ended, as it so often happens. Luckily, my buddy George Wendt called me up just as that career was declining and said, hey, I'm going to the largest dinner theater in America in Kansas City, and I'm going to be doing The Odd Couple, and I want you to come on down. And I said, George, I haven't acted in like 15 years. And he says, oh, shut up. He said, I got to be Oscar, and you're Felix, so come on down. So went down for 4 months, and we did it every night and sold out and had so much fun. I started performing again. A couple of years later, I was doing a show called Old Jews Telling Jokes, which was so much fun to do. I got cast as the Wizard of Oz in the first national tour of Wicked, and I went to like 17 different cities in a year and a half and did Wicked, which was a great show and had a great time. And I have my wife and son join me on the tour, and it's a wonderful stage show. If you're anybody that's never seen it on stage, do that. It's even better than the movie, which is pretty darn good.
Right.
It's and I think selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, and I think Jeff Goldblum plays the wizard. Hopefully you had the opportunity to...
I can't believe they picked Jeff over me after I'd done it for a couple of years. He's very fine.
These things happen.
He's a funny man.
So you also got to film Prince's impromptu performance of Let's Go Crazy at the SNL 40 After Party in February.
Oh my God, yes.
And
yeah.
I looked at that and I thought, what a bizarrely special thing to be able to do. You know, I'm assuming it was a cell phone.
In the comments, when I loaded that up, people were literally saying, I cannot believe that Sweet Chuck knew how to hold the camera the right way. I'm going, who knew?
Wonderful victory there. You know, as those movies went on, you progressed from the merchant to the cadet to the officer. So you've got a plethora of experience there, Sweet Chuck, to be able to do stuff.
I wear many hats. It helps.
So what was it like being there at that performance? Now, obviously, you thought it was important enough to film, but was there any thought, this will be really impressive, this will be big?
Yeah, it was. Actually, the 40th, I think, was more fun for me than the 50th. The 50th was so overwhelming. I didn't even get a chance to say hello to Drew Barrymore. It was that crazy. But seeing that was done at Mr. Trump's hotel in New York. There was a huge ballroom, and seeing McCartney play, the music was astonishingly good. I mean, when Prince started up, I went, I gotta get this on tape. There was such a vibe in the room, and Maya Rudolph was up there singing, and Bill Murray, and it was just like, it was the freakiest time. I put it up, and it got 2 million hits before the family took it down. Because I had actually, when I took that, I made a DVD of it, and that was my parting gift to the 35 people on the Wicked tour that I had spent a year and a half with. I gave them all copies of this. This was before he passed away. And after he died, I put it up on the internet. In a matter of a few days, it went up to a couple of million hits. And then the family took it down because they had the the rights to whatever. I didn't know about, you know, what to do with that. I just thought people would like to see it. Apparently they did. People really loved that.
Okay. So it suggests that you should have taken a camera crew to the 50th just to capture what else was going on. Yeah.
The 50th was nice too.
So you'll be in Columbus in December. What else is next for you? What other projects are you working on?
Yeah, I'm Doug, I'm 75. I'm slowing down. I'm trying to be retired, but I'm not doing much besides this. There was a screenplay that I forgot to write 20 years ago when it was happening. So that's one of my projects, is to get that screenplay written. I've started doing that. But
Does that have a title written down on a small piece of paper as well, like about last night? Or is it?
Yep, call it The Big Stink.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you, because I don't want to jinx it.
Okay. We'll wait to see if anything stink-oriented comes out, and we'll know that you were behind it.
I've been so lucky in my life and my career that if I get another one made, I'll be up. I wrote a black cowboy movie called The Cherokee Kid for Eddie. I used to play cards with Michael Jordan. It's very weird. He lived here, and we ended up playing poker together before he got the rings. Once that started happening, the games were over, because he went to a different league, as it were. But so it ended up not happening with Eddie and Michael Jordan, and it ended up being made HBO, a black cowboy movie called The Cherokee Kid, and it was with Sinbad and Gregory Hines. And the villain in the movie was James Coburn, who was the loveliest man, really the least villainous human being you'd ever want to meet. Always played tough guys.
I was going to say, he was always the heavy, from what I remember.
He was a heavy.
Yeah.
But such a pussycat of a human being. Lovely guy.
Okay. I'll have to take your word for it, because he's very intimidating on screen. And I wouldn't want to cause any problems there.
This was a sweetheart.
Well, Tim Kasirinski, thank you very much for talking to me. I really appreciate hearing about your movies and SNL and all the great stuff that you've been involved with, and that you'll be coming to GalaxyCon Columbus on December 6th and 7th. So we'll encourage everybody to go see you there.
Thank you, Doug.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.